We're on the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, the last line, Masiv Ravina. Let's just review what we covered yesterday on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We're talking about Schita, which is a told of Meleches Dash, when you squeeze out the juices from a fruit, and you do so in order to get the juices. And therefore it has a Torah's Mashke, and the Moloch of Dash is when you create Mashke from Ochel. And the Gemara makes a fundamental distinction between the following two cases. One case is where he squeezes the fruit and the juice goes into a Tavshil, into a cooked pot of food. So it goes from the fruit, which is Ochel, into the food that's in the pot, which is Ochel. And that's Ochel etoch Ochel. That's not Meleches Schita. But it's only when he squeezes it into a Kara, which is an empty bowl, and then it becomes a Mashke. That's Meleches Schita, because he started with an Ochel and he created a Mashke. The Gemara then compares this to a question in Masechta Machshirin. When it comes to Machshirin, it seems that there's no distinction that's really being made here between Litoch HaTavshil and Litoch HaKara. So that, for example, in a case of Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanovim Litoch HaKdera Avalo Litoch HaKara, where Shmuel accepts this fundamental distinction between whether the juices are going into food, which is Ochel etoch Ochel, that's not Schita, or the food is going into an empty pot, and that's creating a new Mashke, so that you violate Schita by taking Ochel and creating a Mashke. But yet, when it comes to Machshirin, we had a very strange halacha, and that is that if you milk an animal, in this case a goat, and you're a zav is metame bitumas heset, so that when the zav squeezes out the milk, he causes the milk to move, that's called heset, the kiluach of the milk is tumas heset, and the cholav is tame. Now, whether or not the cholav is tame depends upon whether the cholav is a mashke. If the cholav is a mashke, then it automatically becomes tame through tumas heset of a zav. If, on the other hand, the milk that comes out is considered an ochel, then with regard to an ochel is not makabel tuma unless one of the seven machshirim came in contact with that ochel. And in this case, the milk goes straight into a container, whatever it might be, and why is it tame? I mean, it never had a hechshel kabel tuma. Again, the kash is only going to be in a case where he was cholev l'toch hatavshil. If he was cholev l'toch hatavshil, then the cholev that is squeezed out of the udders of the mother goat is an ochel. If it's an ochel, then it's not mekabel tum without a hechsher. If it's a mashke, for example, if he squeezed it into a kara, that I understand. A mashke immediately is mekabel tuma in the case of tuma zav v'hesed. We don't need a machshirin. But if it's an ochel, where's the machshirin? So here, if you recall, at the end of yesterday's discussion, we came up with Rabbi Yochanan's breakthrough that when you, and this is Rabbi Yochanan interpreting a mission in Kalim with regard to a woman who is nursing, and the first drop that comes out is not as a mashke, but rather it's Tipa Amaluch Leches Al Pi Adat. That one first drop is used to, so to speak, smoothen out the dad, the nipple. And in such a case, it's considered, it has a different din. And what it means is that first drop is called a mashke. And it matters not whether he's squeezing into a tavshil or into a kara, it's irrelevant because that first teapot does not go into the food, and therefore it has the status of a mashke. And that's why it's mekabel tumas zav, in the case of a zav, who's milking a goat. And now we're up to today's discussion, which is Mosiv Ravina. Ravina quotes a Mishnah in Taras, and this is the last line on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Meis shesochad zeisim va'anovim. Tmei Meis was talking about someone who came in contact with a dead body, a corpse, and now he's squeezing grapes or olives. Here we turn to Daf Kuf Mem Hayam and Aleph. Kibetza Mechuvenes. The size of these zeisim or anovim is exactly one beitza, not more and not less. So what happens is that as soon as he starts squeezing this kibetza size olive or grape, immediately it becomes less than a kibetza. And therefore, it says in the Mishnah in Taros that it is tahar. And the reason is because the tumah in the case of a tumas mes is only a tumas maga. There's no tumas heset. And therefore, when he squeezes out the liquid, he did not have any direct contact with the liquid. He's not metami the mashke. And as far as the peri is concerned, the peri, the minute he starts squeezing it, is less than a kibetza. And therefore, it doesn't have the shear for tumah. Now again, this has a lot to do with the machlokes in general in Taras between Rashi and other Rishonim. Rashi holds that the shear of kibetza is only relevant for the ochel to transmit tumah to something else. Ochel to receive tumah and be susceptible to tumah, according to Rashi, is even a mashu, any small amount. But if that be the case, then Rashi is going to have to talk here about being metame acherim, that the subject here of this Mishnah in Taras that says tar is because the zeisim vanovim cannot convey tumah and transmit tumah to anything else because it's less than a kibetza the minute he starts squeezing it. Other Rishonim will have an easier time with this Mishnah in Taras. They can explain tahar as referring to the pri itself, that even though the tumah mes came in contact with peros, and he's an avatumus metame ochlenu mashkin, but nevertheless, in this case, the ochel is less than a kibetza. So what is Ravina's kasha now? Ravina says the following, let's be medayik from this Mishnah in Taros, ha yoser mi kibetza, had the zeisim of the anovim be much larger in size, such that even after you begin to squeeze the liquids out of them, they still have the shear of kibetza, then tome. Then we would have the status of tome in the case where he is sochet, he squeezes out the juices of zeisim v'anovim. Now, since the Mishnah didn't qualify as to into what object or what kind of a utensil he was squeezing it, it would apparently imply that even if he squeezed it into a kedera, into a pot of food, such that the liquids that come out of the zeisim or the anovim go directly into the food, which we said is ochel habolitoch ochel, and yet it's tame in a case where there is kibetza. Iamet mashka boli ochel ochel hu. If you're going to tell me that when you squeeze out a liquid and it goes directly into a solid substance of food, then it retains its status as ochel, is then my old kasher is going to be b'mayis kasher? How could this zayis or this anav be metame when it didn't have any contact with any sort of a liquid, and therefore it doesn't have machshirin, and it's not makabel tuma? So Ravina asked the question, and Ravina answered the question. Umosiv law, he asked it, umafarik law, and he answers it, besochet litoch hakaara. That this Mishnah in Masechta Taras is discussing a case where he's squeezing out the olives or the grapes into an empty bowl, not into ochel, and therefore, since he wants to get the liquid out of the zayis, etc., and it remains a liquid because it's not mixed into any, going into any solid, therefore it has the status of a mashke. And if it has the status of a mashke, then it's makabel tumah. Omer Rav Yiriya Kitanoi, this issue that we've been discussing yesterday and today about squeezing out a liquid from a solid and it goes directly into a solid, is that called ochel or is that called a mashke, is the subject of a machlokes tanoim in a Mishnah in Masechta Masros. And the Mishnah is talking about a case of a baker, hamachlik ba'anovim. What he does is, he squeezes out the liquids from grapes, and he spreads that liquid on the outside of the dough, and then he places the dough into the oven. The liquid, immediately upon contact with the hot oven, goes up in smoke, so to speak. And therefore, the Tanakhama of this Mishnah in Masechta Masra says, Lo Hukshar. The pas, the bread, does not have contact with the liquid. Why? Because that liquid is not called a mashke. It's not one of the seven machshirim. And the reason for that apparently is because he's only using it to smoothen out, so to speak, the surface of the pas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hukshar. Rabbi Yehuda says that the kikar, this loaf of bread going into the oven, is already considered mukshal lekabel tuma as a result of that liquid juice that he smeared on the top of the dough. What is the subject and the essence of this machlokas, the Tanakhama of Yehuda, my lav bahaka miflugi, let's assume this is the subject of machlokas. Mar sover, according to the Tanakhama, mashka bali ochel ochel hu, that when he squeezes out these grapes and they go directly in onto the dough, which is, of course, an ochel, so therefore, you don't have a mashka here. Why? Because we're holding now, according to the Tanakhama, that mashka ba le ochel is ka ochel dummy. It's not one of the seven mashkim, and therefore this dough and therefore the bread that's baked in the oven never came in contact with one of the machshirin. Umar sover Rabbi Yehuda holds mashka ba le ochel lav ochel hu. It has the status of a mashke, and even though it's going directly into an ochel, but let's talk about the airspace, you know, between the grape and the loaf of bread, it's a mashke. And therefore, the loaf of bread had contact with one of the machshirin, and it's mekabel tuma. Amar Rav Papa, no. Lekuli alma. Here there's an issue in the girsa, so we're going to learn the Gemara with the girsa that we have, which is the girsa of Rashi. Kuli alma, everybody agrees. Mashke haboli ochel lav ochel hu. Everybody agrees to the position that we attributed previously to Rabbi Yehuda. Even the Tanakhama agrees that when you squeeze out a liquid, it is a liquid, even though it goes into a solid substance. And now, if that be the case, why does the Tanakhama, the Mishnah in Masra, say that the kikar is not makabel tum? It's not mukshal makabel tum. After all, the liquid that came out of the grape is a mashke. Hocha b'mashke bole ibud ka miflegi. What they're arguing about is when you squeeze the grapes onto the loaf of bread, onto the dough, and now you're going to immediately put the dough into the oven in such a way that the liquid substance that you took out of the grape goes up in flames in the oven. That's called mashke bole ibud. Is Mar Sover, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mashkehu, despite the fact that his intention here, and he knows very well up front, is that this liquid is going to get completely consumed by the fire, it still has the status of a Mashke. Umar Sover, the Tanakhama is of the opinion, La Mashkehu. This doesn't have the status of a Mashke. A Mashke, in order to be a Machshir, Lekabel Tuma, one of the Machshirin, has to have a certain significance to it, a certain permanence, a certain chashivus. He has to want to collect this mashke and be happy about the mashke. But here he knows that the mashke is going to go up in smoke. That's called le'ibud. And if it's bo le'ibud, it's not called a mashke. And not only that, Rav Papa adds that this issue, in fact, is a machlokes tanoi. Ubepluta dahani tanoi. We have a machlokes about this very issue in a braisa, desanya, Hamafatzea bezesim biyadayim miso avos. He is crushing the olives in his hands. His hands are miso avos, which means tmeos. And he wants to soften up these olives in order that he should be able to remove the oil from the olives. And at stage one, before they actually do the what's called the ketisha, in which they press the olives in the olive press, but even earlier than that, they already start the process of softening the olives with their fingers by crushing them, or shall we say, softening them with their fingers. And their hands are tmeos. And according to the Tanakhama of this brisa, hukshar, right, the liquid that comes out of the zayas, which now has in contact with the zayas, that functions and serves as a machshir. And now the zesim will be makabel tuma by the result of the fact that his hands, with which he's using to squeeze the olives, are tmeos. And he wants to get this liquid out of the olive. He wants it to have, you know, that oil will be very beneficial for him. It adds to the ultimate taste of the olives. And therefore he wants to get that liquid out of the olive. And that's why he is in fact rolling the olives and beginning the process of crushing them in his fingers. And therefore there's no question that the liquid oil that comes out as a result of his squeezing the olives is a mashke, and therefore it's machshe the olives for Kabbalah's tuma. However, l'sofson b'melach lo hukshar. If the reason why he's trying to squeeze these olives in his hands is because he wants to dip these olives into salt, and the salt is going to continue the process of softening the olives, then lo hukshar, because he doesn't really want the oil to go out, right? He really needs to dip the olives into salt. At stage one, he is what's called merachech. He sort of softens up the olives so that now when the olives become soft, they cling to the salt. And the salt is what's going to complete the process of preparing the olives for crushing and for being pressed in the olive press. In such a case, lo hukshar. The zesim are not mukhsharim lekabel tuma, because the oil that comes out, he's not interested in taking out the oil. He doesn't want to collect the oil. And he has no purpose in the oil. He's only wetting, so to speak, the outside of the olives with this little bit of liquid in order to dip them into the salt, so the salt will cling to the olive. However, if he has the third purpose of crushing these olives in his fingers, kidei leida higiu Zesav limsok imlav. The olives are not ready for the olive press until they mature to a certain point. And the way of the barometer of checking as to whether or not these olives are ready for the press is to remove the oil, and he investigates the oil, and if he sees that the oil is already developed, you know, it's got a certain clarity to it and it's clear, then he knows that he can ship off these olives to the olive press. In this case, our Tanakhama, now that we're learning in this brisa, maintains that he's not interested in that oil per se. He's just going to check out the oil to see what stage it is, and he lets it go into the rubbish bin. It's holech li'ibud. And therefore, lo hukshar, that liquid, that little bit of oil that comes out now, which he's using just to check as a barometer as to whether the olives are ready for the press, that's not a liquid, as far as the makshirim are concerned, to make the olives into mukshal lekabel tuma, because he doesn't want that oil. He's not going to collect that oil. It's not going to be added to his barrels of oil. In fact, it's in a different place than the olive press. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hukshar, Rabbi Yehuda says, since he needs the oil out of the olive in order to check at what stage of development the olive is at, and maybe the olive is ready for the press, then that's enough to be considered that at that moment in time, even before that little bit of oil goes into the rubbish bin, le'ibud, at that point he wants to check out the oil. My lav v'haka mifli. So Rav Papa says, what's the fundamental contention here on this issue? Mar savar, according to Rav Yehuda, mashka omid le'ibud mashka, despite the fact that he's not going to do anything with this oil, other than test it out, and then he's going to throw it in the rubbish bin, nevertheless, it still is considered a mashkin, and has that chashivas to be machshir the olives to be makabel tumah. Mar sover, but on the other hand, the Tanakhama holds, lav mashkahu. So our Papa says, we see from this brisa, in the case of potzei hazeisim biyadayim, that we have a machlokas about the status of mashke ha'omed le'ibud. Mashke, which is designated to be thrown in the rubbish bin, and it's called Omed or Bol Ibud, would it be one of the Makhshirim, or it doesn't qualify as such? And that we're going to compare to the Machlokes that we had about the case of someone who was squeezing the juice out of grapes in order to smear the outside dough before he bakes the dough and makes bread out of it. And that small amount of liquid that he used to smear the outside is going le'ibud. It's going to be burnt up by the fire of the oven. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rabbi Yeshua, hani tanoi b'mashke omed le'ibud pligi. He says, I agree that the issue about mefatzeh b'zeisim is a machlokas tanoim about the status of mashke omed le'ibud, but hanach tanoi. However, in the Mishnah in Masros, when we spoke about smoothing the surface of the dough before he bakes the dough, that machlokas is about a different issue. And that's called mashka omed letzachzeko kamifligi. In other words, even if I agree that if you take a mashka out of a solid and it goes into a solid, then right now we're going to hold, not like Rav Papa, but rather, I'm sorry, we're going to hold like Rav Papa, that everybody agrees that it has the status of a mashke. However, in this case, it's letzachzecho. In other words, he's not going to in any way eat or drink the mashke. That's not his interest. He's only trying to be metzachzeach, which means like to shine the outside surface of this bread. And that's going to be the subject of the machlokas. In other words, even if I agree that mashka ba la'ochel is a mashke, nevertheless, what about a mashke which is omed letzachzecho? He's not going to drink the mashke as such, but rather he's using the mashke only to prepare the pas. And that's going to be the machlokas Tanoim between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah in Masros. The Tanakhama holds that Mashke Omid Letzachzeko is not qualified as a Mashke. He's not Mashke the Pas, the Kikar Lechem for Kabbalah's Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's still considered a Mashke because Mashke Habol Letoch Ochel is a Mashke, and even though he's squeezing the grapes directly onto the Ochel, in this case, the dough, it's a mashke. And even though it's holech letzachzecho, you know, he's not using it to collect it as a drink, as a beverage, nevertheless, it still has the status of a mashke, and therefore it's machshir lekabel tumah. Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Omer Rav, Sochet Odom Eshkol Shel Anovim L'toch HaKedera, V'lo L'toch HaKara. And this is a ruling that reiterates what we've seen until now, that when you're talking about schitas anovim and you squeeze grapes, if it goes directly into a tavshil, then Rav holds that mashka boli ochel is ochel, not like the previous maskona that we had before. But if on the other hand it's going into an empty bowl and the mashka now is being collected after he squeezes the grapes and the juice goes into, that's called a mashka. Dag litziro afilu tocha ka'ara. You're allowed to squeeze a fish, and the fish has within it what's called tzir. Tzir is that red, kind of reddish-colored, light red liquid that comes out of a dag. And in this case, Rav says that for sure, even though the tzir was collected into a bowl, there's no tavshil, but nevertheless it's not a mashka, there's no isur shechita. He's not creating a mashka, it's an ochel. Because the tzir of a dag is not a mashka, but rather it's ochel, it's part of the fish itself. Yosef Rav Dimi v'komer leila shmaita. Rav Dimi was presenting this statement, this ruling of Rav. Omale Abai, Rav Dimi Abai responds, and he says, Atun mishmei de Rav Masini, you heard of the name of Rav, v'lo kashe luchu, and therefore you had no problem. But Anan, I heard this tradition, Mishmei de Shmuel Masnisa Le, it was transmitted to me in the name of Shmuel v'kashelon, and now I have a problem. What's my problem? Me, Omar Shmuel, did Shmuel actually say that you're allowed to take a fish and squeeze it into a container? Afilu. Let's see, Afilu Tocha Ka'ara. And that you're allowed to do on Shabbos because it's Ochel and it's not a Mashke. Ve'a Itmar. We have a quotation of Shmuel in the following context. We have something called Kvashim. Kvashim are vegetables, raw vegetables, that are soaked, that are used through kavush. Kavush means soaking in a liquid, in this case wine or vinegar. And now, after the raw vegetable has absorbed this liquid, again, it's not the natural liquid with which this vegetable was born, so to speak, but rather it's liquid that the vegetable absorbed externally through the process of kavush. And shaschaton. Now he squeezes out the liquids from the kvashim. Omar Rav. Rav makes the following distinction. Why is it that he's squeezing out these liquids? Is it legufon? If what he's going to do is he's going to eat the vegetables and throw out the liquids, mutter. That he's allowed to do on Shabbos. Why? Because now he's not interested in creating a liquid. He's really trying to improve the solid food, this vegetable. But lemeimeim, if let's say he wants to drink the juice that came out of this kvashim, let's say it's a wine that has a certain unique flavor to it, then potter aval asur. According to Rav, in this case, he violates a malach of schita mirabonon, and we're afraid that he might do such to Zesim Vanovim, if we allow him l'chatchila to do in the case of Kavush, of Kvashim. But however, he does not violate a Malacha Da'oraisa, because a Malacha Da'oraisa of Schita only applies to its natural juices. But when you remove juices that were external and were now absorbed into the vegetable or the fruit, that's not considered Schita Da'oraisa, but we have to be afraid that if we allow him to do Schita Lechatchila in the case of Kvashim, he might come to do Schita in the case of Zeisim Vanovim and violate a Malacha D'oraisa of Schita. Now we get to Shlokos. Shlokos are vegetables that were not soaking in a liquid, but rather were cooked in a liquid, like a normal process of cooking. And in that case, says Rav, if he starts squeezing out the liquids from Shlokos, then Bein Legufon, Bein Lememehem, Mutter. He's allowed to squeeze out the liquids of Shlokos, because that's radically different than Zeisim Vanovim. The Rabbanan are not going to be afraid that he might confuse, you know, squeezing out the juice of Shlokos with the case of Schitas Zeisim Vanovim. So I'll just read to you very quickly a summary of Rashi. Says Tam sheschitas shlokos kala mischitas kvashim lufisha shlokos shem yirokos shesbashlu b'mayim al yidei abishul hayirokos misrachachim ukshesochton yotzei gam chelik mehayirokos vareu mafrid ochel mitoch ochel. What makes the case of shlokos so radically different than the case of Kvashim, whereas Rav says Kvashim L'chatchila is Asur if he wants to take out the juice. And yet in the case of Shlokos, despite the fact that he wants to take out this juice and make a soup out of it, nevertheless it's Mutal L'chatchila to do this, because in the case of Shlokos, when he squeezes it out, then some of the vegetable itself ends up mixed in with the soup. And in such a case, there's no way that you can confuse that with Melecha Schita, because Melecha Schita is when you take an Ochel and you get a Mashke, but here you have a mixture of Ochel and Mashke in that which gets squeezed out. Ushmuel Omar. Shmuel disagrees as far as Shlokos are concerned, and he says that Echad Kvashim, the Echad Shlokos, Legufan Mutter, Lumemein Potter, Aval Osur. Shmuel establishes that even in the case of Shlokos, that's cooked vegetables, and he squeezes out the liquid that was absorbed in the vegetables as a result of the cooking process, he violates an Iser Durabonon. And Shmuel is not willing to take that Kula, that leniency of Rab, and differentiate between Kvashim and Shlokos. Straight across the board, if he's trying to squeeze out the liquid, he wants to collect the soup, then he violates an Isur Derabanan. Now, the Gemara assumes, this is the premise of Rav Dimi, of Abaye, and that is that we have an analogy between squeezing out the natural red blood, so to speak, of the fish, which is called seer, and the case of squeezing out the liquid water of the shlokos when these vegetables were cooked in a pot. So why is it that Shmuel, if you have that tradition, said that dag litziro is mutter? You're always allowed, under all circumstances, to squeeze a dag and take out its seer. How can we reconcile that with the fact that in Shlokos, Shmuel says that it's Potter Avalosa? Amalei, Sir of Dibi responds to Abaye, Hello Kim, that's a Lashon of Shvua, Einai Ro'u Velo Zar. Alright, that's a Pasuk in Sefer Eov. My eyes have seen and not someone else. In other words, this tradition that I heard, that you're allowed to squeeze a fish in order to remove its tzir, mi pumye de Rabbi Yirmiyah Shmielei, I heard it directly from the mouth of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah, he in turn heard it from Rabbi Zerah. Rabbi Zerah heard it from Rav Chiya bar Av. Rav Chiya bar Ashi heard it from Rav. And therefore, Rav Dimi says that you, Abaye, have a mistaken tradition if you assume that it was Shmuel who allowed you to squeeze a fish for the purpose of removing its tzir. It was not Shmuel, it was Rav. But in a chinami, Rav Yochanan would prohibit squeezing a dag for its liquid, just like he prohibits squeezing shlokos, cooked vegetables, to remove the liquid. Gufa, let's go back to the Amoraim about Kvashim Sheschatan. Amar Rav, Legufan Mutter, Lememeim Potur, Aval Asur, according to Rav, if you have vegetables that are soaking, then Midrabanan, you're not allowed to squeeze out the liquids for the sake of those liquids. We spoke about wine and vinegar. Shlokos, Bein Leguf Bein Lememeim Mutter, but Rav allows you, in the case of Shlokos, even if you want to get the juice out and make a soup out of it, you're allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos. There's no Isur Derabanan, Ushmul, Amar Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh. Even in the case of Shlokos, Legufan Mutter, Lebeimeim Potter Aval Asur. Shmuel insists that there is an Isur Derabanan to squeeze Shlokos in order to remove its liquid. And that's going to be awesome in Rabbanan. For Rabbi Yochanan is a third sheet, Omar. Echad kvashim v'echad shlokos l'gufa mutl l'meimeyem chayav chatos. And this is a radical revolutionary breakthrough of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that even liquids that were absorbed from the outside into a vegetable, either through the process of kavush, which means soaking, or through the process of cooking, those liquids become part of the vegetable itself, as if the vegetable was born with those liquids absorbed inside of it, and you squeeze them out for the purpose of getting that juice out. That is melecha schita doraisa, and yechayv chatos. So we have three shitos over here. We have, on one extreme, we have Lakula Rav, who says that in the case of shlokos, you're always allowed to squeeze it out, and even in the case of kvashim, it's only lemeimeim that it's asur. And Shmuel says that the Rabbanan prohibited even the case of shlokos lemeimeim. And Rav Yochanan says that if it's lemeimeim, whether it be shlokos or whether it be kvashim, you're going to be in violation of a malacha d'oraisa of sochet and yechayv achatos. Meisvei, now the Gemara is going to raise a steer against all three shitos from a braisa. The braisa says, Sochatin, Kvashim, B'Shabbos, Litzorach, Shabbos, Avalo, Litzorach, Motzoi, Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze the juices out of that which was soaking, a soaking vegetable, as long as you need those juices on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to prepare it for Motzi Shabbos. Zeisim v'adnovim lo yischovim sochat chayav chatos. In the case of Zeisim v'adnovim, if you squeeze out their juices, then you're chayav chatos. And the Braisa doesn't differentiate between schitas kvashim litzorech Shabbos or schita litzorech gufon litzorech meimeim. It would seem that when we talk about kvashim on Shabbos, litzorech Shabbos, it would seem that this braisa is going to allow you to squeeze out the kvashim even on Shabbos, even litzorech meimeim. I mean, the braisa just has this absolute unqualified statement that you're allowed to be sochet kvashim on Shabbos, litzorech Shabbos. Is Kashal Rav, Kashal Shmuel, the Kashal Rav Yochanan, even Rav, who is the most lenient of the three shitos, and he allowed you to squeeze out kvashim, that was only if it was litzorach gufan. He wants to improve the vegetable, but if it was litzorach meimeim, then it was a potra avalasar, and here the Braisa is allowing you lechatchila to take kvashim and squeeze them out on Shabbos, with no compunctions and no qualifications, even if he needs meimeim. He wants to create some sort of a special wine with a special taste that he gets from these kvashim. How much more so is this difficult according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara answers, Rav mitaritz l'taymei, Shmuel mitaritz l'taymei, Rabbi Yochanan mitaritz l'taymei, each one of these three shitos, according to his view, is going to interpret this braisa. Rav mitaritz l'taymei, sochatin kvashim b'shalot tzorcha shabbos avalo tzorch mo b'medvam amurim legufon avalo meimeim potter avalo asur. Rav is going to add an entire qualification in this braisa, that when the braisa allows you to do schit of kvashim, that's only because you're interested in gufon, you want to improve the vegetable itself, but if you want to collect its juice, then the rabbanan prohibited. Shlokos, in the case of shlokos, which again was not mentioned explicitly in the braisa, but we know that bein legufa bein lemeim mutar. That's Rav Shita. But zeisim anom lo yischovim sochton chayv chatos. Shmuel mitaritz l'taymei sochatin kvashim v'shabbos litzorach haShabbos. For hu adin l'shlokos. Because according to Shmuel, there's a total identification of kvashim and shlokos. They both have the identical din. And it all depends upon whether he was sochetim v'bedvar murim legufon. And then, if it's legufon, it's mutter. And in this context, Shmuel agrees with Rav. But where does he disagree with Rav? Avol meimeim, if he's interested in removing the liquids and collecting the liquids, is potter avol asur. And that's true even in the case of shlokos, whereas Rav limited it to the case of kvashim. V'zeisim v'anovim lo yischovim sochachayv chatos. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan mitaritz l'taymei. Sochatin kvashim litzorach shabbos avol lo lemotzoi shabbos echid kvashim v'echid shlokos. Why are you allowed to squeeze them for the purpose of using them on Shabbos? That's only v'medvarim l'gufa, because he wants to eat the kvashim. or he wants to eat the shlaka. So he improves them by removing the liquid. If he wants to collect the liquid, lo yischod, he's not allowed to be sochet v'im sochat. Then we're going to add another piece to the brisa, and that is nasa kamisha sochat zeisim anovim v'chayev chatos. That even though, as we said earlier, the liquid is external and it was absorbed into the fruit, nevertheless it's considered like the natural liquid, and therefore if you squeeze it, you chayev chatos. Now the Gemara goes back to the sheet of Rav, as far as Chitas, Kvoshim, and Shlokos, to explain the logic of Rav. Omer Rav Chiyah Barashi, Omer Rav. Dvar Torah, Eino Chayev, he's not Chayev Achatos. Ela Al Drichas, Zesim, Ve'anovim Bilvat. Only when you press olives or grapes are you Chayev for the Malacha of Schita. As far as all other fruits are concerned, other than olives and grapes, then it's not usual to press them and remove their juices, and therefore that's not considered a violation of schita. V'chein tani de Bei Menashe, we learned in the Beis Medrash of Menashe, Dvar Torah, Eino Chayev Ela Al Drichas Zeisim Vanov Bilvad. You're only Chayev for schita in the case of grapes and olives. V'ein Eid Mipied Kosher, this is another statement that's in the name of Tana Debei Menashe, but has nothing to do with what we're learning until now. And this has to do with the laws of Eidus. Eidus means that I can testify on what I saw. But if I didn't see it, I just heard it from another witness, then that's not reliable Eidus, with one exception. And that's where we're up to Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis. Elo Li Eidus Isha Bilvat. If a man left out to battle, for example, and nobody saw the dead body, and he left a wife, and the question is whether we can assume that she is now an almana and her husband died, we're allowed to rely on Eid Mipi Eid, so that Reuven actually saw the body, the dead body of the husband, and he told this to Shimon. We can't find Reuven, he's disappeared off the face of the earth. Shimon can come and testify, and based on his testimony, there's a special kula that we have, Mishum Igun, because of Iguna, we don't want to leave this woman that she cannot get married, and we're going to rely on this Eidus. Iboilahu, now once we mention the discussion about Eid Mipi Eid, the Gemara has the following suffix. Eid Mipi Eid Le Eidus Bechar Mahu. What happens if you have a blemish on a bechor, the firstborn animal, and the Torah says that that firstborn animal has to be given to the mizbech as kedushas bechor, unless it has a mum. And now the question is whether this mum is a permanent blemish or it's not a permanent blemish. And the person who saw the mum is nowhere to be found, but he related and passed on his Eidus to someone else, and the second person came in and testified. Can we accept the testimony of Eid Mipi Eid in the case of Eidus Bechor? And Rav Asi Asir v'Rav Asi Shari. What does this mean? Rav Asi says it's Asir, Rav Asi says it's Mutar. I'm sorry. My mistake. Rav Ami said it Asur, Rav Asi says it Shari. What does this mean? Amale Rav Ami le Rav Asi. How can you tell me that you could be matir, a bechor, based on Eid Mipi Eid, a secondary testimony of a Tana de Bei Menashe, ein Eid Mipi Eid kosher, el le de Sisha Bilvad. The only exception to the rule was a married woman and we're testifying on the dead body of her husband. Ema. Says Rav Asi, we have to expand this. And when we had Tadu Bei Reshmo, you should read it, Liedus Isha Ksherala Bilvat. That if you're talking about Eidus Isha, then within the context of Eidus Isha, in order to be Matir and Eishus Ish, the only case that we can accept validate the testimony of Eid Mipi Eid is the case of testifying about the death of a husband. And not only that, we can even accept the testimony of a woman. And she's also believed as valid, reliable testimony in order to allow this married woman to get married. And now the Gemara concludes with the story. Rav Yemar Achsher Eid Mipi Eid LeBechor. And Rav Yemar, reflecting what we saw in Rav Asi, was matir, a bechor, based on aid mi pi aid. Koriale Mereimar, Rav Mereimar was not happy about this, and he said, Yemar Shari Bukhra. In other words, this fellow by the name of Yemar, he was one of the great Amoraim, he was matir a bechor that was really kadosh l'mizbeah. But the Gemara says, Hilchasa Eid Mipi Eid, Kashal Bukhar. The final bottom line is that we can rely on Eid Mipi Eid in a case of a Bukhar to testify about the Mum in this Bukhar. Now the Gemara goes back to the end of our Mishnah. At the end of our Mishnah, we spoke about honeycombs. And if he had broken the honeycombs to allow the honey to be removed before Shabbos, and the honey comes out on Shabbos, is chalos dvash, and we said that the chachamim say that you're not allowed to eat the dvash that comes out automatically from these honeycombs, and Rabbi Elazar is matir, he allows you, ki osa Rav Oshe min arda, osa v'yaisi masnisim v'yode. Rav Oshe brought the following tradition from Narda, Zaysim Vanom Shiriska Me Rav Shabbos Viyotsu Me Atzman. If he crushes the grapes or the olives before Shabbos and now the liquids flow naturally on Shabbos, Asurim, then you're not allowed to drink that liquid because we're afraid you might come to squeeze it out and then you'll violate a biblical Schita Mishum Dash. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Matirin, they allow it, so that you can drink the wine and the grapes, we're not afraid, and the juice of the grapes, we're not afraid that you'll come to be soaked. It's where I ask, wait a minute, Omer Av Yosef, Gavri Yisera Osalash Minun. What did Rabbi Yehoshua have in mind? Is he just telling us that it was not only Rabbi Elazar who was making it, but it was also Rabbi Shimon? I mean, is that what he wants to tell me, if he had crushed the grapes and started the process of removing the liquids before Shabbos, then not only is it Rabbi Elazar who allows him to collect the grape juice and drink it, but even Rabbi Shimon. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Tuva Kol Mashma. What are you talking about? He's telling me a great chiddush. And this is a chiddush even according to Rabbi Elazar. Do you masnisin? And if you check the Mishnah out, and you want to derive conclusions from Rabbi Loza's position in the Mishnah, Rabbi Loza was talking about chalos dvash, and therefore Hava Mina Hasam, who I would have said that Rabbi Loza was lenient as far as the liquid honey that comes out from the honeycombs that he broke and he crushed on Erev Shabbos to make kara uchla ulavasof uchla, because when you take honey out of a honeycomb, then you're taking basically ochel mitoch ochel, because even when the honey is still inside the comb, it still has the status of an ochel. And even when it comes out of the honeycomb, it remains an ochel. Therefore, what's the gzera over here? You're afraid that maybe he'll come to squeeze the honeycombs with his hands and remove the honey. Even if he did so, he would not be violating an iser of schita. But if you're talking about Zaysim Vanovim, even though he crushed them before Shabbos, to make Kara Uchla Basof Mashke, he's creating a new Mashke from an Ochel, and then if we, heaven forbid, might come to a situation where he deliberately on Shabbos would crush the olives or grapes, Emolo, perhaps that far Rabbi Elazar wouldn't go to be Mekil and not be afraid of a gzera that maybe he'll come to be soche piyadayim and he'll violate the Isur of Dash. Kamash Malan, that's exactly what Rav Oshia wants to teach me, and that is that Rabbi Elazar went as far as being mekil, even in the case of Zaysim Vanovim, as long as he started the process of crushing them before Shabbos, and now the juices flow on Shabbos automatically, it is mutter. And now we're up to the Mishnah, here on Daf Kuf Mem Hei Omid Beis. And this Mishnah is going to deal with the issues of heating up food on Shabbos by placing food into hot water. And the Mishnah establishes the following principle. Kol Sheba Bechamin Me'er of Shabbos, if you had already soaked these foods in hot water before Shabbos and now they cooled off, and you want to reheat them, is sure no some b'mayim chamim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to warm them up again by placing them into hot water, because we have a principle called Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. He's already established the Bishol on Erev Shabbos. But Chol Shaloba B'chamim Erev Shabbos. If you have raw meat, for example, and you did not place it into hot water before Shabbos, now you want to put it into hot water on Shabbos, is then Madichin Oso B'chamim B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to soak raw meat in hot water on Shabbos, and that's considered mevashel. You're already cooking the meat, which is a melacha d'oraisa. But if you are pouring hot water onto the meat, that's called irui. Then irui is not mevashel, with two exceptions. Chutz min amaliach hayoshin v'kul yasai spinin. There are two types of foods which are both fish, and they are salty fish. Well, let's call them herring. And even in their raw state, if you pour hot water on them, you make them edible. Or, for example, a certain kind of sardine that comes from Spain, and it's a very salty fish, then even to pour hot water, which we said is iri chamin, is prohibited. Because you make these little fish edible by pouring hot water on them. And you violate meleches bishul. Or possibly you violate meleches maka bepatish. The Gemara asks the following question. We said in the Mishnah that if the food was already placed into hot water before Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to soak them on Shabbos in hot water to soften them a little bit. Kigon mai, what would be an example of something that you already have basically cooked on Erev Shabbos with hot water, now you want to soak them in hot water? Amar Rav Safra, Kigon Tarnagolta de Rabbi Abba. Now this Tarnagolta de Rabbi Abba was already cooked, and it sat soaking in hot water for a long period of time. It became very, very soft, and apparently, as a result of this process, he was able to create a therapeutic concoction over here. And on Shabbos itself, he wants to soak it in hot water, and he's allowed to do so. Just one second, I'm sorry. He says the following, that this hen of Rabbi Abba, he would customarily soak for many days, and it would dissolve on its own. And the reason he did so is for therapeutic purposes. And he says that it had medicinal advantages. The Omer of Safra, Rav Safra adds, Zibnin Chada Iklois Lahasam. One time I was there in Rabbi Abba's house in Eretz Yisrael, the Ochlen Mine, and we ate of this kind of dish that was made of this hen that was soaking for many, many days. Ve'i lo Rabbi Abba. If it wouldn't have been that it was Rabbi Abba himself, the Ashkechen, that after we ate this kind of a hen that was soaking for many days, he gave us to drink chamra, a very strong wine, bar tlosa, tarfe, that it was a three-year-old wine, it was a vintage wine, itnese. He means he would have vomited it up. It was so terrible. So he had to drink this very strong wine immediately afterwards to get to drink it down. Now we talk about another dish that was popular in Bavel, Rabbi Yochanan, Royek Mikusa de Bavloi. In other words, if you reminded him of the flavor of a certain kind of a kutach, and as you recall, we said that a kutach is a kind of a yogurt dip that's made of breadcrumbs and sometimes the whey of the milk, and it was very disgusting. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that I can almost regurgitate just thinking about the flavor of that kutach. You have to understand that Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, so he was not he was not familiar with the taste of a kutach of Bavel. Now Rav Yosef was from Bavel, and he didn't like the fact that the Jews of Eretz Yisrael had a certain attitude towards the Jews of Bavel. And now Rav Yosef responds to Rav Yochanan's custom of spitting when he reminded himself of the kutach of the Babylonians. Amar Rav Yosef, the lyric anami turgulosa de Rav Abba. Rabbi Abba had this terrible, repulsive, rooster, hen that he cooked for so many days. Maybe when we remind ourselves of this hen that came from Eretz Yisrael, from Rabbi Abba, we should also start spitting the ode. And furthermore, he says, if others of Eretz Yisrael don't consider the Babylonian kutach to be repulsive from the fact that we eat it, and he has a story to tell us about this kutach of Bavel, and it's not repulsive. So he gets upset here, sensitive about the fact that Rabbi Yochanan, when he reminded himself of the kutach of Bavel, he would spit. Amar Rav Gaza said, maybe he came from the south. Anyway, Zimdin Chada Ikli Isla Hasam. He says, one time I was in Eretz Yisrael, the Avdus Kutu de Bavla, and I had prepared, like I was used to in Bavel, a Babylonian kutach, She'ilu minei kol b'richei ma'arava. And the people who were sick in Eretz Yisrael, they all gravitated towards me, and they begged me for some of that kutach, Rabbi Gaza's famous kutach. They didn't spit it out, they were begging for it, not like Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Mishnah says, Kol Shaloba Bechamin, if you have something that wasn't heated up on Erev Shabbos, then you're only allowed to pour hot water on it, but not soaking in hot water, and even pouring hot water on it is asur in the cases of kulyas I spit in, because that's called kali abishal, something that very easily becomes cooked. Hidiach mai, let's say he had this kulyas I spit in and he poured hot water on it, did he violate a malacha d'oraisa of bishul? Omer of Yosef, hidiach chayv chatos. Kali Abishal generates a chiyuv chatos. Omar Mar, Brei Ravina, Afanana Mitnina, I also learned this way. Chutz, Mimoliach Ayoshan, Vekulias, Ayispinin, Shadachosin, Zui Gmar Mosam, Shmamino, Chayiv Chatos. The fact that it's called Gmar Molocha means it's called Molechas Bishul, and therefore he's Chayiv Chatos. He violates the Doraisa in Kali Abishal. This, my friends, is the issue about tea. Whether tea is considered Kali Abishal, that's why we're so machmir when we make tea with a klishlishi and the whole business. Yosef Rav Chiya Bar Abba Rav Asi Kami de Rav Yochanan. So there was these Amorim in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Yosef Rav Yochanan Kami Namneim. And the rest of the Gemara here, my friends, is an Agadita. And this Agadita, which was sort of the jumping point for this Agadita, was the discussion about Spanish mackerel, that kind of fish that came from Spain. And the Gemara is now going to talk about different biological distinctions between different animals and birds in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. So this is where we're going to stop for today.